Good day, my name is Anthony Patch, and this is another edition of Pulse. Today I'd like to address the latest information as to the war between Russia and Ukraine, and I am calling it a war because this is the label that Putin is about to assign to the special military operation, as Russia has referred to this conflict with Ukraine. It is about to become a full-fledged war against NATO. The event that is precipitating that is a strike against a weapons depot deep in Russia. This is characterized as an attack that could not have been carried out by a drone. It is specifically being characterized as a missile attack by Russia, while at the same time Ukraine is claiming this to be a drone attack. In my previous Pulse presentation, we were talking about Army tactical missile systems and HIMARS systems. With respect to Ukraine, Zelensky essentially demanding permission from the West, the United States, and Great Britain for permission to use these missile systems to target deeper into Russia, thus long-range targeting. The targeting would be accomplished by the relay of data from U.S. satellites to ground-based NATO troops, specifically U.S. and Great Britain troops in Ukraine, that are trained to input this satellite data, targeting data, into these missile systems, specifically, as has been openly declared by Zelensky, to target Moscow, St. Petersburg, and other critical sites, both civilian and military, deeper in Russia. Putin's response has been that if that permission is granted, and as of Friday of last week, Pentagon spokesperson, special public affairs spokesperson Kirby had stated close to midnight on Friday that no decision was forthcoming, either negative or positive decision. That was last Friday the 13th. Well, it does appear that something was decided with respect to targeting deeper into Russia, into a military weapons depot. This has resulted in an explosion that is so significant that it is unlikely that it could have been caused by a drone. Now, was this something that was independently decided upon by Zelensky and his military leaders, apart from Washington, apart from NATO, or was privately, secretly, permission granted to strike deeper into Russia? Now, strategically, with respect to an impact, a military impact upon Russia, this is little to nothing. But the political, the geopolitical, which is what we focus on here, the geopolitical impact has greater impact, greater implications strategically, because Putin made it very clear that if targets deeper in Russia were struck by the West, he would then take this as a declaration of war by the West against Russia. That he would consider this to be NATO declaring war because of these targets deeper in Russia, which appears to have been accomplished now, at least with respect to this weapons depot. My expectation is that politically, geopolitically, Putin will respond by declaring that this is a war declared by NATO. Thus, Russia will now be on a wartime footing. This means that industry can be put on a wartime footing in terms of what they're producing and how much they're producing, shifting from the commercial civilian product manufacturing to military product manufacturing. That's just one example of what it means to be in a war, in a declaration of war for a country, for an entire country, Russia, versus strictly a military, special military operation. This was to minimize the impact of military operations upon the Russian people, the Russian economy, Russian manufacturing base. This attack has the potential to shift Russia into a full-time war footing. This means that they can devote more resources, more financial resources, more personnel resources, civilian that would be supporting military operations and so forth. In terms of a military strike, there is the distinct possibility that conventional weapons, conventional warheads, high explosive warheads, loaded on hypersonic missiles that Russia possesses and is in no short supply of hypersonic missiles and other medium range and longer range missile systems, they're in plentiful supply in Russia, which is quite the opposite situation with NATO, with Europe and the United States. My concern is that the Russian response may be to launch perhaps several hundred hypersonic missiles, not only deeper into Ukraine, but possibly into Poland itself. Putin has made it very clear for the last 2 months that should he attack NATO countries, it would be a horizontal escalation, targeting countries that are receiving men and materiel from the United States, that are warehousing, servicing, and deploying military weapons from their countries. Thus, they become, in terms of the legal definition of war, they become legal targets for Russia to strike because they are supporting what is now a war between NATO and Russia. So this is the bottom line significance of this attack by Ukraine on this weapons depot in Russia. It is a deeper in Russia target. It is thus indicating that perhaps permission has been granted for longer range missile strikes into Russia. Now, apart from hypersonic equipped with high explosive warheads, there is that looming possibility that tactical nukes may come into the picture. My expectation would be that it would be the West that would employ tactical nukes first rather than Russia. I say that because the West is growing dangerously low on its quantities of military weapon systems, whether we're talking missiles or armored equipment, tanks, armored personnel carriers, and the like. The Ukrainian army, for its sake, is practically decimated. The Kursk invasion of Russia, there have been some 2,000 casualties per day since this began. It's almost a month into it now. There are over 12,000 total casualties of Ukrainian soldiers, and they are cut off from resupply, so they are essentially surrounded by Russian forces, and it is now a war of attrition. Russia is allowing the Ukrainian troops to die on the battlefield. they're not able to resupply, they're not able to treat the wounded, they're not able to evacuate the wounded, and they are continuously under assault by Russian forces daily, continuously. As a backdrop to this, I just want to quickly note that it's now been reported that 80% of the Ukrainian electrical grid has been destroyed. And we are in the fall, quickly approaching the onset of winter, and the Ukrainian people, military and civilian, are facing the distinct possibility of going into winter without sufficient electrical capacity. That means people will starve to death and people will freeze to death. As a result of that, another expectation of mine is that there will be a near immediate evacuation of civilians from Ukraine into Europe, a massive migration, a humanitarian crisis that will invade Europe. I don't think Europe is able economically nor politically willing and able to absorb thousands and thousands of fleeing Ukrainians who are fleeing winter. So that we need to keep in mind. Because the US, because NATO lacks the military weapons and personnel sufficient to stop the Russian military, special military operation. And again, I want to emphasize, it is not the intent of Putin, according to his statements, to occupy all of Ukraine. The territory that they have seized at this point is where they intend to stop. And I'm being very broad stroke in what I'm presenting. So it's not so much stopping Russia where they are as Russia stopping where they are of their own volition. But Putin, and I've reported this several times in Pulse videos, Putin has made it very clear that if he detects, if his surveillance systems detect preparation for the launch of tactical nukes, even conventional long range, if they detect the imminent launch of long range missile systems, not just one missile on one target, but multiples of missiles, Russia will presume that these missiles are equipped with tactical nuclear warheads. From their defensive posture, they have to assume that this will be a nuclear attack because the West lacks the resources for a protracted conflict, a war with Russia. Lacking the depth of ability, men, materiel, economic, political, wherewithal for a sustained conflict with Russia. The thinking in Russia is that tactical nukes will be used due to the lack of ability for a long-term conflict, and the West then seeking an early solution to the conflict, an immediate solution to the conflict, by hitting Russia with tactical nukes. As Putin has said, if we detect these systems being prepared, Russia will not absorb these impacts, but they will preemptively use tactical nukes against these missile systems. And again, horizontal escalation, attacking NATO countries. He did not leave out the continental United States from the discussion of strategic ballistic missiles, ICBMs, being used against the United States itself. So we still have the specter of a nuclear conflict looming. And as we see this provocation on the part of the Ukrainian forces, utilizing Western technology and Western troops to target deeper into Russia already, we're on the doorstep of either hypersonic conventional warheads being launched, or if the West is so stupid as to prepare nuclear-tipped missiles, Russia is left no choice but to employ tactical nukes, not conventional. They will bypass conventional and go to tactical if they think the West is about to launch tactical nukes. If the West is not detected preparing tactical nukes, then my expectation is one step lower, and that will be the employment of hypersonic, high explosive equipped missiles launched by Russia against Ukraine and NATO. Either way, the scenario does not look good for the West. So that's the latest on that conflict as I'm observing it. What I'd like to move to is Lebanon. I'm sure most of you are aware of this. In Lebanon, there were 12,000 people killed and 2,700 injured yesterday by pagers. Ostensibly, the reports are that these pagers were distributed to members of Hezbollah in Lebanon. These pagers were triggered by a VHF, very high frequency, radio broadcast on the network that was hacked. It underwent a cyber attack by Mossad, essentially hacking the radio broadcast system for this pager system, broadcast a signal to the pagers, and the pagers exploded, killing 12,000 people and injuring 2,700. I'll give you some details on the pagers in a moment. Today, there were other devices that exploded, some characterized as walkie-talkies. These are handheld transceiver radios. Also, smartphones and laptops are reported to have exploded. These handheld transceivers, so-called by the media as walkie-talkies, some 20,000 people were killed and 450 injured, at least according to the reports. These transceivers were manufactured by ICOM, model V82. These are 144 megahertz VHF FM radio, so that's the frequency they broadcast on, is 144 megahertz. There are also reports of counterfeit ICOM radios, the IC-V80 and the 718. So there may have been counterfeits that were in possession of Hezbollah forces that also exploded. Here's what I've been able to learn about the pagers, and this may hold true for the transceivers as well. The focus is upon the computer chip in these devices, and a small quantity of lithium is embedded in the computer chip. See, we think about lithium, we think immediately of rechargeable batteries. Apparently, it was actually lithium contained in the computer chip that was detonated by the receiving of a specific signal, a transmitted signal, into the computer chip that caused the lithium to explode. This also has been characterized as something that has been planned for well over a year. that perhaps Israel intended to utilize this as part of a larger battle, a larger conflict with Hezbollah, that in a larger conflict they would cause this death and mayhem and confusion, this panic to occur that we've seen the last couple of days in Lebanon, but to have that occur within the context of an ongoing military battle between Hezbollah and the IDF. Now, I don't have any information to indicate why Israel chose this particular time to activate these devices, these bombs, but certainly you can understand that this would cause a reaction in terms of retaliation, an attack by Hezbollah on Israel. And of course, this is connected with Iran. And therefore, this may just trigger a regional conflict in the Middle East. We shall see. Again, there's a whole discussion that can lead into the application of tactical nukes in the Middle East. That obviously is a concern. On one of my recent live streams that can be accessed by subscribing through anthonypatch.com, where I can go into more detail and speak of things that I'm not allowed to speak to here on YouTube, we abide by YouTube's community standards. We've lost one channel in the past. We're trying to stay within the bounds here. But through anthonypatch.com in our live stream, recently, I have shared with our subscribers that there is a nexus, there is a node, there is a connecting point, a joining point between what's going on in Ukraine and what's going on in the Middle East, and that is NATO. In particular, that is the United States. The United States has made it clear very recently to Netanyahu that he needs to conclude this regional conflict. He needs to bring this to some sort of settlement very quickly with Hamas, the Houthis, Hezbollah, Iran, Syria, because the United States cannot maintain its forces in place, in particular our naval assets. The Theodore Roosevelt, the carrier group, the carrier battle group, Theodore Roosevelt is being redeployed out of the Persian Gulf into the South China Sea region, the Asian Pacific region. Thus, Netanyahu knows that his time is short. Perhaps this explains the timing for these devices to explode, to trigger a regional war while the U.S. still has assets in place. There's a concept in military planning, in warfare, if you will, in particular applied to frontline deployed troops, assets. These assets are known as perishable assets, meaning they cannot stay on alert status, forward deployed indefinitely. There's a cost to that in terms of the fatigue factor for humans, fatigue factor for weapon systems, the ability to be resupplied and refueled. So I won't go into a long dissertation on that, but perishable assets have an expiration date. And this is quickly approaching for the U.S. assets. And therefore, it may be that this regional war is about to be escalated. But again, NATO is the connecting point between the Middle East and Ukraine, in particular, the United States. Meanwhile, the United States, through President Biden, is saying that our greatest existential threat is China. That's for another pulse. That's for another discussion. I hope that brings you up to date. Probably most of this you're already aware of, but I wanted to provide to you maybe a few details you weren't aware of, but also give you my expectations of how this perhaps could play out. God bless you all.